to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 10. I love this time of year as we close out a year and look forward to the next year. It's amazing how God has put those types of markers in our lives, and how things, even every day, right? Sometimes you just need to go to bed, amen, so you can wake up to have a new day. And it's amazing how that oftentimes changes everything. It changes perspective. It changes how things are working out or not working out that day. And it might even be in the midst of a day, you know, just walking away from something and then resetting and coming back. It's just absolutely amazing how all that works, the different markers like that that God puts into our place, into our lives. And so the year by year, though, is absolutely one of those things. It's a little bit larger of a cycle. But it's exciting. It's always exciting for me to see a year closed out and then embark on a new year. And I've said it before, I enjoyed 2021. I look back and definitely a lot of things have taken place this year that have been a tremendous blessing. Yes, with challenge, but much blessing. And so I want to preach a message tonight, just maybe a little bit in reference to looking forward to this new year, some ways that we can maybe look forward so that we can build year by year. We don't want to stay stagnant. We don't want to stay the same. We want to grow. We want to constantly get, more mature, better at who we are as believers, more refined. We were talking this morning on our call, getting better, being able to communicate the gospel, constantly honing skills, spending time in the Word, spending time with Jesus, and on and on and on. So hopefully that's where you're at with really everything, right? We always want to get better and better. Not that we're ever going to arrive completely in perfection until we see Jesus, amen, then we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. But at the same time, God has made it such that we can grow. We can grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ from this point forward to the day we die. You should never stop growing, amen? And God always has a plan for you, always has a purpose, no matter what station in life that you find yourself, no matter what age, no matter what circumstance, no matter what health condition, no matter what anything, God always has something for you to be busy about doing for His glory and His kingdom. That's why we're here. And whenever our time is up, we finish our course. Then as Paul said, he fought a good fight, he finished his course, and he was ready to go, and he did, right? He knew that there was laid up for him a crown of glory, amen, and he then soon passed. So praise the Lord for that. But let's go ahead and look at Hebrews chapter number 10, and in verses 19 through 25. And in this text of Scripture, we have two references to a word. It's having, and then three, let us. So in the beginning of this, as you see in verse 19, having therefore, we'll see that there as well as in verse 21. And that's going to lay some groundwork. In other words, having meaning we have these things. These things are true, and you'll see as I read through here, these are things that we as Christians possess, and we take great occupancy of them because we utilize them in a tremendous way. Whether we're thinking about it or not, we do use these things. And then based on that, let us. There's actually three let us in this text as well, in verse 22, 23, and then in 24. And so verse number 19, Hebrews 10, verse number 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And let's pray. Thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. I pray that it would be a help to all of us that are here, God. I pray it be an encouragement, and that, God, you use this message just to get us thinking about the year that's before us, God, unless you would come back before that. But, God, peradventure that you will not, and you'll allow us to go into this next year, Lord. Let us see these things that would be our part to accomplish, knowing that you've always done and will do your part. Thank you, God, for how good you've been to us. Thank you for those that are able to be here. Pray for those that aren't able to be, God, that you'd raise each up in their respective situation. We do love you now and thank you for all you do for us in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, so having, this passage says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Actually, it says by a new and living way. Amen. Which he hath consecrated for us through his flesh, the veil, which is his flesh, referring to Jesus Christ. And so, boldness. I know every one of us here that are Christians, we boldly enter into that room of prayer. We boldly come before God. And I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times I came to that throne room of God today in prayer. I know many of us spent a lot of time today just praying for Doug and Erica, specifically Erica and the baby, and just spending that time, you know. And not one of us thought that it was strange entering into God's holy place, because when we pray, we enter into his presence. And if you stop and think about it, this isn't something that has been availed just to every generation, right? We, because of Jesus Christ and because of the opportunity to be in Christ through salvation, it was Christ who, remember, after he was crucified, resurrected, that temple veil was rent. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that was replaced with the flesh of Jesus Christ. And so we now have access into that holy place of God where his mercy seat exists. We have access to that through Christ as believers. And I believe oftentimes we take that for granted, but for someone in the Old Testament, they would actually have to bring an offering and then pass that off to the priest, and the priest would do with it as they should according to custom of that time. And then that once a year, the high priest would enter into that veil that one time a year and then make those offerings for the people. But it was the priest that would do that for the people. But you and I as Christians today are believer priests. God has given us that opportunity to be priests that can come boldly before his throne on a moment-by-moment basis. And this is tremendous. This is a reality that we have, not based on our performance. It's not based on what I do. It's not based on what you do. Once you're a Christian, once you're a believer, you now have access. And that's a blessing. Amen. And that's what it says here. So having boldness. We have boldness because we enter right in. We barge right in. Amen. We go right in that throne room like we own the place. Amen. And we are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We know that he truly does, and we come in his presence, he being our high priest. And then it says, having, verse 21, an high priest over the house of God. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Go ahead and turn back in your Bible there to Hebrews chapter number 3. I want to look at a couple of these texts because we have a tremendous standing as believers, some things that we take for granted that I think we just need reminded of, because this is going to be the foundation for the three "let us" phrases utilized in this text. So our high priest is Jesus Christ. And as a high priest, he is our righteous advocate that approaches the throne of God for us as well. We have access to the throne of God, but we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous as well. And he brings our petitions and our needs before the throne as well. Hebrews 3:1 says this about our advocate. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Just consider him. Consider this one who, not based on any performance of our own, not based on what we bring to him, not based on what we bribe him with, if you will, not based on anything, he has taken on the role of high priest for us because we are now in Christ as believers. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 17. It says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So he not only is our high priest, but he came to earth, was tempted in all points like as we are. He feels our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. He's already been there for us. And now from that posture, that position, he, as our merciful and faithful high priests, he takes these things before God for us, for our sins, and for our reconciliation. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse number 15. Again, all these things are happening all the time for us, no matter what we as his people are doing. He is faithful to perform his role, his tasks for us, regardless of our action toward him or what we bring to the table. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse number 15. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And the more we study about the high priest, our high priest, Jesus Christ, we find that he cares. He has a spot for us. He's been there. He knows what we're going through. He knows, he endured a great contradiction of sinners against himself. He's not this impersonal, uncaring God who sits in heaven and just laughs at the things that we go through. No, he absolutely cares. And he does this without fail, faithfully, for all of his children. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. The Bible here says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. He's not just dealing with the things we are dealing with today, but even looking forward in reference to us. And we look at how Paul prayed for, say, the Philippians and these others, and it was all forward-looking. And in this forward-looking thought, God doesn't just want us to be where we're at today. He has a great desire for us to continue to grow as Christians so that we can be more and more who we were made to be and who God has intended for us to be. So Christ's prayer for us and Christ's help in reference to our infirmities is not just what we believe we're going through, but what he knows that we're going through and what we're experiencing that we may not even know that is holding us back at this point. He's even praying for those things and setting things up so that we become everything that our faithful high priest Savior would have us to be. So as Christians, or as a Christian, we have bold access to God's throne, which I don't know about you, but I take advantage of, amen, and I use quite often. And as a Christian, I have a high priest, and you have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who feels what we feel with compassion, and he is faithful. He is faithful to forgive our sins and to do what is necessary to keep each of us right positionally and relationally with our Heavenly Father with a forward-looking aspect for our good. And I think that's tremendous. And that is the two havings in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and then and in verse 21. So based on that, excuse me, you never have to worry about those things going away. If you are a believer, Jesus Christ will be faithful to perform these things for you. Now, some people, I've actually heard people say to me before, please stop praying for me. Anybody else ever have anybody say that to you? Please stop praying for me. Well, I hope that no one ever feels that way in reference to Christ. I imagine maybe sometimes people do get to that place that they feel that I wish God would just leave me alone. But here's God's promise to you. He will never leave you alone. He will never forsake you. I remember as a young Christian, I remember sitting and a preacher, it wasn't our pastor at the time, it was a different preacher, I don't know if we were here or somewhere, but he preached a message on how God will shelf believers and put you on a shelf and stop dealing with you. And I really struggled with that message. And when I come to find out, while we can be shelved in reference to service, right? There can be a times in our life because of our actions, because of how we choose to live, that we're not fit for service, right? But God will never stop working. If you're a child of God, God will never stop working on you in reference to him, to you being his child. And Christ will never stop being your advocate, who goes before the throne, who feels your infirmity, as we've already discussed, and knows where you're at in all these things. Amen? And so from that perspective, Christ is faithful. And that's what we see in that text. And that's the main importance of the beginning of this text is this, having, right? Having boldness to enter, having an high priest. We will always have bold access to the throne room of God. As I mentioned before, the fact that there's those from before us that did not have this same access. We will always, as God's people, have access to come before his presence through the flesh of Christ, the veil, to make our petitions known. And we will always have Christ as our advocate, period. He will always be faithful to us in those things. And so now, based on his faithfulness, and based on the fact that we have these things, next in our text in Hebrews 10, verses 22 through 24, we have three instances that we see the phrase, let us. And let us now is our part. Based on God's faithfulness, let us. Now, what's interesting about this is, as a human and in our world, oftentimes we only do what we have to do. We only do what's required, because if we don't, then it falls on us. For instance, a lot of people only go to work because they like to eat and they like to have a house with a roof over their head and a vehicle, because of course work is where they gain money. And if it wasn't for that, they wouldn't go to work. So, cause and effect. I have a need. I put forth the legwork. I'm rewarded for that. I take and exchange the money that I get in trade for that, and I use that then to purchase what I need. So I'm doing the work. I gain what I need. I purchase what I need. My needs are fulfilled. But as a Christian, you don't have to serve God. God will still be faithful in your life, whether you serve him or not. You will still have access to God in prayer as a Christian, whether you serve God or not. None of these are predicated upon what you do. As a Christian, you already have it. That's what this passage says. Having boldness. Having a high priest. But because we're a Christian, and we have those things, now God says, let us now do some things. Not to get, but because we already have. Let us not do to get, but let us do because God's already been faithful to give us what we didn't deserve in the first place. Does that make sense? That's how this passage is set up. So the first let us in verse number 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So first it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. A true heart, not a false heart, a true heart, a heart that's actually sincere towards God, in full assurance of faith, completely by faith. our hearts being sprinkled from that evil conscience. Let us allow the Word of God to go at work into our lives to purge us from our evil conscience and so on. Before we run through all these, let's just jump back to that true heart one. We should as Christians be working to get closer to Jesus, not further away. I had mentioned earlier that this message is kind of like a charge message for the new year. It's the last Wednesday night before we go into 2022, unless of course God comes back before them, Christ, and that's fine with me. He's fine if he comes back here tonight, tomorrow, Friday before the turning over of a new year, fine with me. I'm happy for it. Amen. Looking forward to it. Can't wait. But if not, and we have 2022 to enter into, let us consider these things. We know that God has been faithful, and we know that God will be faithful. Amen. But let us do some things. And first, this text says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Amen. Let us not work on getting outside of or away from the things of God, but let us work in this new year to be closer to God in every aspect of our life with a desire, a true heart, not because someone is making us go to church, or not because somebody is making us read our Bible, or not because someone is making us, you young people that have school work to do and the Bible's, in the midst of all that, not because of that, but actually because you want to, because you want to study, because you want to read, because you want to know more about Christ, because you're interested in him. Let us draw near. Let us each individually take it upon ourselves to draw near. Let us take an interest in these things. Amen? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Amen? An evil conscience would be those things that you know you're not right in right now. Amen? And this isn't about what other people think of us. It's not about if we can find some others that agree with us, or find some others that are doing the same thing, or find some others that tell us, hey, it's okay. He's a meanie anyway. No, our conscience isn't predicated upon man. Our conscience is fueled by the Holy Spirit of God as Christians, amen? Our conscience is on overdrive as Christians. And those things, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so when God reveals to us that what we're doing is wrong, then let us allow that reality and the Word of God, which we'll go search out on the matter, and then that confession and forsaking of those things, let us take on the aspect of seeing our conscience being pure this year. No evil conscience. I'm not saying anybody doesn't have that tonight. But let us make sure that going into this new year, that our heart desires to draw near to God, and that we are faithfully serving him, that we believe God, and we're not making excuse for why we're not who God would have us to be. And then let us allow our conscience to do its job in our lives. Amen? And then having our bodies washed with pure water. We went recently over 2 Corinthians 7:1, which says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us allow that Word of God to have its way in our lives this year. Let us allow the Word of God to make us that peculiar people that's actually clean in this filthy generation that we live. And then holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering. The profession of our faith, that's salvation. That is the gospel. Our profession is based on our acknowledgement of ourselves as sinners, our understanding that Jesus Christ as Savior came to this world and he bled and died on the cross of Calvary and went into the grave and 3 days later rose again to deliver us, to deliver us from our need of a Savior in reference to sin and salvation. But then we need that same deliverance every day and every moment of our lives. So let us hold fast that profession. The profession that I need a Savior, not just the day I got saved, but today. I need a Savior today. I need a Savior to save me from me. I need a Savior to save me from what I think that's wrong and how I act and all these things. I need a Savior from just the evils of this world. I need a Savior. Let us hold fast that profession. Let us not just look back and say, oh yeah, I did that. The doctrine of soteriology, for all you college folk, amen, it started, yes, when you got saved, but it doesn't end until the day you die and we actually meet our Savior face to face. That's the completion of the redemption of the purchased possession. Our salvation is not complete until we get to heaven. Soteriology began when we got saved, and it ends when we see Jesus. So let us hold fast that profession, amen, of our faith without wavering, amen. And then considering one another. Considering means to observe. So I don't like it when someone observes me. Man, you better go move out some faraway place because people are always observing you, amen. I like it when someone's observing me that I know cares for me. Amen. Because they are going to take what they see, the information that they gain, and they're going to use it to help me. Amen. And what this is saying is, it says that let us consider one another. Let us observe one another. And then it says, for a purpose. What's the purpose? To provoke one another to love and to good works. Now, I try from the pulpit to provoke y'all, amen. I do my best, amen. I try without crossing any bounds. Maybe some of you say, oh, you crossed some bounds with me. That's fine. Come provoke me with how I crossed a bound, amen. I mean, let's do it, amen. I need provoked just like you need provoked, amen. So let's provoke each other. Don't just get your feelings hurt. Don't just run off and hide in a corner and talk, you know, have pastor for dinner without me being there, amen. Come and provoke me with the truth. Because I guarantee you, I fall short as your pastor. My name's not Jesus Christ. No, and if my name was Jesus, I'd probably go by something else. Amen. What's that one, Jesus called Justice or whatever? Yeah, I'd go by something else too. Amen. The point is that, I mean, I'm at this thing just like y'all are. I'm trying to draw nigh to God just like you are. Amen. I'm trying to see my faith increase just like you are. Amen. I'm trying to take benefit of what God has already given me just like you are. Amen. I'm just trying to do my part. I'm just a part of this church just like you're a part of this church. And together, we can do something in God's strength. Amen. And so all of these let us's are for all of us, amen, to partake, myself included. So considering, observing, and for what reason? To provoke. Provoke means to incite, to dispute, to contend. And by the way, anybody that knows me really well, I mean, I would rather see something provoked, maybe even to some people just never want to see the water ripple. Amen. Some people never want to see problems. I'm just not that person. I don't mind problems. I think problems are needed. There's a lot of relationships in our lives that if it doesn't get to the place that a problem actually rises to the surface and it gets a little rough for a little while, then you know as well as I do, we'll let it ride. We'll let that bad relationship ride for a long time, and nobody benefits when that happens. So if something happens and it pushes it here or pushes it there and it gets a little heated for a while, man, praise the Lord, amen. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit of God and we're believers. Surely we can work through it. But sometimes things do need a little bit of ruffledness just so you can deal with something and then ultimately deal with it properly and then grow from there. Amen. It's just like us individually in our lives. There are things right now in my life that I'm not good at. I really don't know what they are, right? Because if it was something I needed to be good at and I wasn't good at it, I'd work at becoming good at it. Does that make sense? I really don't. If I needed to be good at something, I'd either hire someone to do it or I would do it myself. Usually I try to figure those things out myself. So if I'm lacking in an area like that, that's once the problem exists, now I know, oh, I lack in that area. But until that problem exists, I don't know that I lack in that area. Does that make sense? And then once I find out, once it's revealed to me, then I have to make a decision. How am I going to accomplish that? But I have to deal with it. I have to do something because that problem's not going to go away. But if it wasn't for that issue, then I wouldn't even know. I'd live in ignorance in that area. I don't know. Does that make sense? So that's really the concept here. And this is where that provoking comes in. We don't know all the issues that we have that are important solely from our own individual perspective. God only gave us eyes right there on the front of our head, amen. That's it. And so the wisdom of God said, what I'll do for my people is, I'll give them something that the world doesn't have. I'll give them a church. This is the wisdom of God, not my wisdom, not your wisdom, not Paul's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. And God said, I'll give them a church that's made up of saints. And I will encourage them to draw nigh to me and have a right relationship with me, and then to edify one another by keeping their eyes open, not to nitpick, not to put down, not to make fun of, but to provoke, so that they can see the blind areas of their life, because surely they will say, if it's a fellow saint in my local church, I know they love me. I know they didn't say anything just to hurt me or destroy me. Oh yeah, the world would do that, but not a fellow saint in your local church. Surely not. And so I know that whatever they have to say, then they're just trying to help me. And that's what this passage says. Now, if we're talking about a worldly arrangement, different story. God didn't say to do that in the world. He said to do this within a local church. Amen? That's what he said. And provoking means to incite, to dispute, to contend. So when we see our brothers or sisters, especially those we are covenanted together with in a local church, we should do what we can to see them grow in a godly love toward God and man, and toward good works, as God details what our good work is. Not just as what we think is good, but what God says is good. Amen? This is our job. Let us do that. And let us be willing to receive that. Not that everybody should be going around all the time saying, "Oh, I mean, this isn't something that should happen 24/7 where everybody's always pointing everybody's air out. But if it's needed to be talked through, if it's needed to be pointed out, then we should be appreciative. Amen? It's our job. And then it says, let us, or not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Forsake means to desert, to leave behind. By the way, it's fitting that that one comes after the last one. Because sometimes when you're provoked, you don't like it, and you tend to run instead of stick it out and grow through it. Happens all over the place. Happens in a lot of families, doesn't it? Yep. It's easier to just separate, split up all the stuff than it is just to work through your problems. That's what the world thinks. But it really isn't, is it? Me being a product of a divorced home, I'll tell you, it wasn't easier on me as a child, I guarantee you that. But it's not true of a church scenario either. The problems you run from today, you'll only find in the next place you choose to land. That's just the way it works. The fact that God allowed an issue to be brought out isn't a bad thing, because we have the Word of God. And God would have us to work through it. Why? To help you, to help me, to help our church, to grow. Why? So that we can do our part. Let us, right? We already have these things from God. God's going to do His part. We already have the throne room of God to run to. That's not going to be shut off for you and I as believers. We have that. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ. No matter what we do as believers, we have that. We have a high priest. Now let us do these things. And then it says this. So not forsaking, and then exhorting one another. First, we're going to provoke one another, and then we're going to exhort one another. And that has a wide-ranging understanding of the word depending on the context, but it means to entreat, to comfort, to invite, to invoke, to even pray for. But it has the idea, that exhortation, that coming alongside and working together. I preached that message on brotherhood because that's the way the local church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a brotherhood where we come together and we work together. By the way, the only people that are hurt if the brotherhood's not where it's supposed to be, well, a lot of people are. You and I are hurt. The lost world is hurt. The cause of Christ is hurt. The whole scheme is hurt in God's perspective, because it requires a group called a church to accomplish the will of God. And by the way, none of us came qualified. The only thing that got us in the group was the fact that we were born again. But being born again, baptized, out of the church, all that does is equate us to a bunch of babies. Right? Babes in Christ. So God joins together a bunch of babies. And then He says, that's that group I'm going to work with to accomplish my purpose on earth. Whew. Now you see why we need to understand. We have some things. They're not negotiable. God will be faithful. But then we have a part. And that's the let us. We don't do these things so that we get access to God's throne room. We don't do these things so that we convince Jesus to be a good high priest for us. No, we're going to have that. We're going to have a good high priest, and we're going to have access to His throne room. We do them because we are His children, and that we care about God, and we care about who He is, and we love Him because He first loved us, and we're just excited to be a part of what He's doing on earth and then on throughout eternity. Let's go back to our text very quickly. Hebrews chapter number 10, now verse 19. Let's read through here again. Let's point a couple more things out, and then we'll close. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I believe the day is approaching fast. And in the midst of the day approaching fast, the devil will work overtime to drive a wedge between you and every other godly person in your life. It will affect your family. It will affect your church. It will affect every relationship you have. It's just the way it is. Why? Because the devil knows that his time is short. Amen? So what's our response? Well, Christ faithfully does his part for us. And I don't think there'd be a person in this room that would challenge that and say, I don't think Christ has been faithful. And by the way, if you are at that place where you feel like Christ has not been faithful to you, if you're at that place where you feel like, you know, God has not heard your prayers or has, you know, needlessly took you through things that you didn't deserve, or if you've gotten to that place, and people do, where you're beginning to blame God and you're in despair and God is at the thick of it, I would highly encourage you to come talk. Let's work through that. Find another brother or sister in Christ and work through that together. Because the reality is that God is faithful. He has been faithful. We might not always understand the whys and all the reasoning and all the different elements. I know we don't always understand those things, but we might not even see enough. God may not have given us enough info on purpose so that we by faith just need to trust him. But there are plenty of scriptures that we can draw comfort from, and we can help each other with as we encourage each other in the scripture. The Bible says that we're able to admonish one another. And when those times happen, utilize the local church. Don't run to your lost family members and talk to them about all the things going on in your spiritual life. What are you doing? If that's what you do, that's crazy. They're lost. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Are you wanting carnal, devilish counsel? There is not an opinion of a lost person that matters in spiritual matters. There's none. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. They don't know. They're carnally minded. And carnally minded equates to death. Amen? So think through this. God has given you a lot of counselors around you. Utilize that. Don't let the devil talk you into a corner. Who's next will talk you off the cliff. Don't you do it. Don't do it. Amen? That's what this passage is referring. God is faithful. So we understand. God's faithful. He is doing his part as Savior, as High Priest, with no strings attached. God is doing his part in your life with no strings attached. That's how much love he has for you. It would be wrong to take advantage of this kindness of Christ and not seek to do our part just because it's not required. Amen. I'm born again. I don't have to be the pastor of this church. I don't have to be a member of this church. I don't have to do anything. I get to. It would be foolish for me not to. It would have great ramifications in my life. But I really do mean it when I say I get to. It is a privilege. A privilege to be in a position to serve God from this position. But ultimately, it's not required in the sense that it would move God to be anything more or less for us in the grand scheme of things. As such, dear brother and sister in Christ, let us strive to be strong Christians through this next year on the outside and on the inside, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our faithfulness, in our witnessing, in our everything, for God's glory, because he is worthy. This year, let us do our part as we know and are confident that Christ is faithful to do his part. Amen. What an excellent example we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. And Lord, I for one am looking forward to this new year. I look back over this year and see the strides that I've seen some make, I've made, and yet in other areas fallen short. And God, I'm looking forward to
seeing this year closed out and a new year begun. And I'm looking forward to serving you, God, in 2022. And God, I know that I have much room to grow. I know that I have much ahead, as long as you'll give me breath on this earth and until thy coming. But God, I know that what I get to do as a Christian is not in a sense to manipulate you to be anything more or less in my life. God, you will always be perfect in how you deal with me. And you will always be proper in how you work in my life and in our life. You are always faithful. And God, what you've already given through salvation, you will not take away. And God, I'm thankful for that. And now, God, from that perspective, I humbly get to serve you. Not that I always understand it all, but I want to draw nigh to you. And I want to fulfill what this text spoke about, Lord, to be who you'd have me to be, to the best of the ability by which the Holy Spirit can use me this next year. That's my desire. And that's my desire for all of us here tonight. Bless, I pray now in Jesus' name.